Our epistle lesson this morning comes from 1 John, from the 4th chapter, verses 7 through 21. Listen to the word of our Lord. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent His Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. We have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because He first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or a sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from Him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. Sisters and brothers, this is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. So how many times did you count? How many times did He mention love in those few verses that I read? I didn't count it either, but it does seem like I said it 147 times. I might have thrown in an extra couple there just because it seemed time. I hadn't said it in a couple of verses. This passage from the Apostle John is a real favorite at weddings, Mother's and Father's Day events, and anniversaries. It's got all you got in want in a big family gathering. You keep telling everybody, it's all about love, it's all about love, and hoping that everyone will actually do that for at least the length of how long you're all together. God's love for us, and this is all a great, very wonderful statement on God's love for us and how it is shown in Christ. Many of you who know that I went to a wedding last evening may be wondering if all the nuptials have somehow sparked a sermon, which is a discourse on love, because this is the passage that is usually wrapped up as a saccharine sweet ode to love. We love to hear it. We love to roll in it. We love to ingest it. It's all about love. All you need is love, right? The Beatles said so, so it must be true. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. While it would be easy for me to jump around a little bit, talk about the bride and groom and how wonderful it was to be there with all the HSC men abounding and acting like, well, HSC men, looking very good and dapper and yet being a little less than good and dapper at times. The family and friends at the wedding were very happy and everything was elated and it was all swept up in this air of love of two people who are beginning a new life together. Now I am very thankful that I did not hear anyone sing "Love is in the Airs" or "All You Need is Love" or any of the other love songs from any age. But it was a wonderful service, if I do say so myself. But what I had them concentrate on for the few minutes that I had out of a whole day's worth of activities, what I concentrated on was how they were going to be able to love each other the way that they needed to be loved, only if they first loved God and listened for God's voice. For without that, there is no way that we can love. I tell you that while the Gospel of John, that we hear this passage, and it sounds so much about love and wonderful things, it is a very deep theological statement that is being made here. And if we slow down and don't get too tangled up in that one word, the word that always trips us, because love means a lot of things. I love ice cream. I love pasta. I love a lot of things that aren't good for me. I love my wife. I love my children. I love Hampton Sydney College. I love all of you. And probably in there, in all of those sentences, you could figure out a different meaning for love at least several different times. And no, I'm not going to run through all the things about the Greek words for love and how this happens. In this particular place and time, and all of this passage, and as a matter of fact, in almost all of the Apostle John's writings, when he mentions love, he does talk about the love that God has for us, which is different from what movies, soap operas, plays, and everything else talk about. Usually it's this affectionate love, this love of someone you have a great yearning for them romantically, or at least you're such good friends that you want to be together all the time. You have this great bond. The love that the Gospel of John talks about and this passage especially, it stresses the personality of God to the fullest extent. This is all about what God has done for us and is doing for us, who God is, and who we can find solace in. Not this thing of let us all hug around and get all good together. It is God loving us and setting aside the things that keep us apart. See, what Paul is talking about in Ephesians and other places is that how God loves us and sets aside our sins of not loving Him the way we should. He sets aside those sins and actually blanks that out of his vision. He no longer looks at us through the knowledge of that sin. This is what the Apostle John talks about. He has it. He understands what has happened with Jesus Christ. It's not just that our sins are forgiven. They are blotted out. He will no longer look upon them. God separates himself for that, chooses out of love not to look at all the things that we have been doing that are hurtful to God. Now for a moment, think about that. Think of how hard it would be for you to do the exact same thing. You have close friends. Some of us have spouses. Some of us have girlfriends and boyfriends. We have close friends. We have family members. All of that, when we say we love you, do you blot out all the things that they have ever said or done that are hurtful to you? Raise your hand if that's what you mean. Yeah, I didn't think so. Me either. My hand didn't go up either. That is not really great for us humans. We like the love thing when we're all gushy about it. Yes, ladies, the guys do like it. They just don't want to tell you that because they don't know how to deal with it. But God is talking about taking away from his memory our sins. And that is love. And from that, we start to learn about what love really is. Or at least we should start to really learn about what love really is. It is not a romantic movie that you watch, although that is very nice and you may love that. It is not a great story of a couple going through hardships and finally figuring out that this is the love of my life and I'm going to stay with them. This is about every day trying desperately to love the way that God loves us. To forgive. And not just forgive, but to no longer care about what happens. With that, whatever somebody said to you, whatever somebody did to you, whatever went on, to let it go. Not to say, oh, I'll forgive you, but I'll mention it to you for 20 times for the next 6 weeks. Or pop it out and tell you, well, that day you did that, that was really wrong. God puts it out of His vision. That's a close, decent translation of what is going on here. That is what the gospel writer is talking about when he talks about the love of God. God doesn't forget it. He just sets it aside because God cannot forget. But He sets it aside over there and no longer looks at us through the view of what we have done that is wrong. And in this passage, and honestly, passages in many places by Paul and others try to talk to this. And it's hard to do because the language is not, it's difficult because it's outside of what we're used to talking about. We can't really comprehend how you can put this away and care for someone without that being there at all. Now we're supposed to, and we're supposed to try and to live into it. And then all sorts of things in our minds start to come up, but wait, if I don't even mention it, if I never even talk about it again, if it's not there, how is it ever going to change? How are we ever going to get to be better if they do things that make me angry? How, indeed, are we to be like God? Well, of course, we cannot be that way completely. But that is what God is calling us to do when we speak about love, especially loving God and one another. Without that, had God never done that, we wouldn't even have a chance at it because we would have nothing to understand. Had God never have done this for us in Jesus Christ, if He'd never done that, we would never have any idea at all about how we were supposed to live. We would still be stuck in this, you did this to me, so I'm going to do that to you, and this is how we go, and we live our lives, and since you did that to me, I'm not going to speak to you anymore. We would be under the law. That's what we're talking about. But John understands this is about personal relationships, not some law that's chiseled in stone. It's about our feelings that get hurt when someone says something mean to us. It's about our anxieties when sometimes we have them so that we say something mean to someone else. It's about our insecurity. Our insecurity when we wonder, am I good enough? The writer of the gospel says, because God has loved you enough to set it aside, now you have something to live into. It's not just coming to church on Sunday. It's not just singing good hymns. It's not getting everything down. It's not being perfect. It's about learning to forgive as Christ forgave and loved you even still. This is not our normal way of thinking, but it should be. It is a time when we have to transform into something else. When we have to work harder and harder and harder at blotting out the things that have hurt us and forgiving as God is forgiving us. We don't particularly like that. It can be harmful. And it does not mean that we should submit ourselves to being abused. But the fact is, we abuse each other just a little bit all the time. Sometimes we do it without knowing it. Sometimes we do it very much knowing it. But always we should be forgiving. And all these times we should let go of that. And you know what I haven't really figured out about all this yet? Is if God's got it like that. See, we would never be able to do this at all if we did not know that God was there and that this could happen. Did God know we needed it for ourselves or for the person that we are forgiving and loving, not remembering what has hurt me? Because when we carry around what others have done to us, it keeps us from being the person God has made us to be. We carry luggage we need not carry. Not what we have done to someone else, but what they have done to us. We carry it around. And it's a burden. It makes the world seem like a bad place. Forgiving is great. And by the way, if you ask forgiveness for someone and somewhere there you say, but, it is no longer apology. Any apology that has the word but in it is not an apology. Just remember that. And be careful when you start to say things or when you hear them. We are to let go of things. We are to emulate God. God is love. When He says God is love, that is what loving is for God. He sets aside our sins, the things that make Him sad and hurtful. Is hurtful to Him and does not dwell on them or look at them anymore. That is God's love. And that is who we are called to be. We will never get it like God does. God is perfect. But with practice and constant turning toward God for help, to help us let go of things, we can make so much easier this life that we live. We can truly love other people without the buts. This is who God is calling us to be. This is God who has given us this gift. The question is, are we willing to accept that gift? Or will we cling to the what ifs and the buts? And I do good things. Brothers and sisters, I beg you, as we come nearer to the close of the season of Easter, to begin to try to work hardly at letting go of the sins people have done to you. And just as importantly, let go of the sins that you have done to others. This is who God has called us to be. People in the world who love as God loves us. Thanks be to God. Amen.